This is Victory House.
Hallelujah. You're welcome to church. I'm sure everyone is wondering, where is Pastor? We saw he was away a couple of weeks. How come he's missing again today? Well, he's not missing. He went for the YASIM conference, the Young Adult and Singles Ministry of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. And they had a program this past weekend in Atlanta. And I'm sure you'll see some missing faces here. Some of our young folks went there as well. I'm sure they're having a wonderful time. He will be ministering today. And he'll be back this week by the grace of God. So I'm sure you'll be pleased to see him next week. The Lord be praised. And I just want to appreciate the Lord God for the opportunity to share the word with us this morning. My prayer is that some of the things that I will say, you've probably have heard them before, but that the Lord God will open your eyes, he'll open your ears. And much more than anything, he will give you the ability to be a doer of the word and not only a hearer in the name of Jesus. Let's just say a short word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to learn at your feet. Father, I surrender myself to you. Speak through me. And I pray that every one of us here, including me, that, Lord, you open our eyes to hear you, to open our eyes to see you, and open our ears to hear what your instruction for the moment is. And, Father, Lord, you give us the grace to obey you and walk with you to our place of the miraculous in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Can someone tell me what we've been talking about this month? Some of us that have been here. What? Miracles. Not quite right. The God of miracles. And incidentally, we were not here. Like, you know, we were away for some time. So I took a moment to go back to listen to some of the messages that our pastors here preached. And I was so blessed. You know what I felt like doing? I should just replay it. And I sit down, right, and enjoy and digest it. I'll just go through some of the things that I learned. From the first one that Pastor Andrew taught us, he said one of the things that stood out most to me was that when you read the word of God, you see what God can do. But when you have revelation, you will know what God will do. I mean, I think I'm paraphrasing it. But he created a distinction between just reading the word of God and having a revelation. When you have a revelation, someone may come to tell you something different, but you will reply with your revelation, no, I shall not die, I shall live, right? So there is a distinction between just reading the word of God and knowing, having a revelation of what the word of God says. And the second lesson was from Pastor Toyosi, faith, capacity, and miracles. And one of the things that stood out to me when I listened to that message was that when you use your faith, your capacity increases. God does not just give you a capacity or give you something to hide under the bushel. He wants you to use it. And as you use it, your capacity for believing God for miracles will increase. And then last Sunday, Pastor said, there it is. Said your miracle may be around you, maybe in your pocket, it might be your neighbor, but maybe you just haven't seen it. And one of the prayers we pray is that God will open up our eyes to see the miracles that are in seed form. How many of us know that a forest did not just show up? It started with a seed. And if you despise the seed, then you have despised the harvest. So it is with our lives. You might despise your neighbor. You might despise that little talent that you have. But that may be the exact thing that the Lord wants to use to bless you and bless your world with. And I pray that the Lord God will open our eyes more and more to see the miracles that are on the inside of us and that are around us in the name of Jesus. You guys are looking so cool. Making me feel a little nervous. The Lord be praised. Now, I looked up the word, what is a miracle? Well, I wanted to title this message, and the topic that came to my mind was desperado. And then when I looked up the word of desperado, I saw that it had a little bit of criminal intent to it. So I said, no, I don't think this is appropriate for the church. So I said, oh, should we change it to holy desperado? But I said, okay, no, let's just make it positioning yourself for a miracle. And when I was thinking about the message, what was in my heart was like, how desperate are we to see the hand of God in our lives today? How desperate are we for the touch of God? How desperate are we for the hand of God to be revealed in our lives, in our situations? Not only our individual lives, even in our country or in our loved ones' lives. And I'll just be going through some points today, and I trust that the Lord God will bless your heart in the name of Jesus. What is a miracle? A miracle is an event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws, and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. So you can't explain this, but that God did it. Hallelujah. The dictionary definition was saying divine agency, but we know that it is God. God and his angels, God and the powers that work with him. They are working to produce something in the lives of people. It's basically the hand of God at work in your life. So that when someone asks, how did you do this? How did you get that? How did you get to this place? Your valid response, if you want to be honest with yourself, will be that the Lord did it. The Lord did it. Not discounting your human effort, not discounting what you did, but you realize that what you did, some people also did it too. But the result you got was different. It's different from what they got, and it can only be attributed to the grace of God, the power of God at work in your life. I just want to mention some things about miracles. Miracles are for today. Some Christian sects say, oh, miracles have passed. They were only in the time of Jesus and in disciples. Now we are in a new dispensation. We just take it as it is. I don't believe that. Even Jesus said, greater works will ye do. So miracles are for today, in your present life, in 2018. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, verse the A part of it. It says, for the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is fully devoted to him. God is looking. God is looking. Who can I bless today? Who can I help today? Who can I lift today? Whose story can I change today? But is your heart fixed on him? Are you devoted to him? Are you looking? Like somebody, I think it was Pastor talking about how to hear from God, how we need to be on the same frequency. A radio you can only receive if it's tuned to receive the frequency. So God is always giving. Like the song we sing, you give and you make a way. You give and you give again. He's always looking to bless us, always looking to deliver us. But sometimes we are not in tune to him. We are not ready to receive that all that he has for us. That will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Today we are in tune because he's looking for who to bless. How many of you are a candidate for God's blessings? How many of you are candidates for his miracles? The Lord God will locate you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So the first thing we've talked about miracle today is that miracles are for today. But miracles don't replace your hard work. They don't replace your own responsibilities, right? So you don't believe God for a job and you just, after praying, you go get under the covers and you say, oh, just like they called David from the field, they are going to call me. How would they call you? You didn't apply. You didn't go to school. You didn't position yourself. You didn't, nothing. I mean, there are some miraculous things that happen that are out of the blues, but really, it's not. Like, really, you can't do that. You can't just not position yourself. You need to get ready so that when the opportunity, even David, even though he was called from the field, he was busy doing the work he knew to do. He was anointed. He went back to the field, did what he was supposed to do. And when the need arose, he was called for. So miracles don't displace or they don't, you know, erase your own work. Even Jesus, when he was healing people, he would tell them to do something. Like, take up your bed, get up and walk, stretch your arm. There is always a responsibility. And Pastor always says, any person, any Christian that leaves all the responsibility to God is an irresponsible Christian. God gave you things, he gave you instructions. There's something you must do. Bible says faith without works is dead. Hallelujah. So miracles will not displace your hard work. But otherwise, when people are working hard, they may get one result, but you will get multiple. Amen? yours will be different. As you're applying yourself, as others are applying themselves, you will be distinguished in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I also want to say that miracles are birthed by desire. When I was listening to Pastor Andrew's message, he mentioned a little bit of that there. I wrote this. I said, as long as you are cool with the situation, it is permitted to stay. I mean, whatever situation it is, if you are cool with it, if you're like, well, that's how it is, then I mean, it's permitted to stay. So just keep following you. I mean, and everyone will know you by that situation, and you're like, you're fine. As long as you are fine. But when you are not fine with it, then you arise and do something. So desire births miracles. And this is two-way. It's also you being the miracle worker in that sense, or also you receiving the miracle. Because Jesus, when he was going to heal people, the Bible says he was moved with compassion for them. He wanted to see their lives changed. And that was how God used him. He was God personified, and he healed people. The same thing too in our own lives, when we recognize that, oh, this thing ought not to be. Then you arise and then you take what belongs to you in the name of Jesus. And then some of us may say, oh, desire, I don't really have, I'm fine. God has blessed me in the past. Well, I used to struggle, but right now I'm fine. I can pay my bills. I'm healthy. My children are doing fine. There's really nothing to be desirous of. There's really, I'm really cool. I'm just cool like that. There's really, I mean, I'm fine. No help, no issue with the doctors, no issue with the bank. There's really nothing. I don't really need a miracle. I'm fine. But I think if you are like that, your dream is too small. If you are like that, you have been limited in your thinking. If you are like that, perhaps you are selfish. You are just concerned about your own family, your own immediate surrounding. But I mean, I found myself in that place before, and I just, you know, the Holy Spirit just awakens me. And you can pray. When some people say, oh, I don't like praying, you can ask God to help you like praying. That's how God is. He's not a distant person that you can't even relate to directly. I say, Lord, I don't really feel like praying today, you know, help me. You can do that. Same with our desires and us being agile in the spirit. If you feel like you are weak, if you feel like you don't have anything you are striving for, you can ask. You can ask the Lord, Lord, open my eyes. Give me something to go for. Give me a goal. You might even take up someone else as your project and pray for that person. And say, Lord, I believe you for that sister. I believe you for that brother. He needs a job. I believe you for his spouse, for that sister. You can take it up. I'll give a testimony. And I struggled with saying this a little bit because it's not a matter of boasting. When we were in college, I had a friend. We were in the same level, the same class. Well, the same department, not in the same class. But I noticed that every time we'll come together to study, all of us in the group, we will excel on the test, but she will not. It seemed like she was not understanding, or it seemed like she was understanding when we did group studies, but on the exam, she will fail. And it just made me sad that how can this person put so much effort into studying and understanding, and how will she feel when all her colleagues and her friends, they get good grades and she doesn't? I took it up to prayer. I didn't have to tell her. And this is, you don't have to tell anybody. I prayed, I fasted. And I was watching, as I was praying, I was watching. I'm like, no, this should not happen. I don't like the way she feels. Because you just see her, she'll be so sad. And I honestly believe it probably was a demonic attack. Because sometimes, a lot of times, it's not someone that is, sometimes you can, how you can identify the devil at work in someone's life is when you see that this person is working hard. You see that this person is working hard. The devil comes to, he doesn't have any other assignment, to kill, to steal, to destroy. Maybe at the time of the exam, he will give us something to think about or something. I didn't know what it was, but I took it up in prayer. I just kept praying, and I kept watching. The next time we did tests, they said, I won't mention the person's name. You're smart, though. I knew where it came from. I mean, I did till today. I didn't tell her. And it's not a matter of. But I was so joyful about it because I knew that she needed a change. I knew where it came from. Almost like I will read the scripture to us as we go down. But you can take someone else as a project. I don't like how this person is always falling sick. I don't like how this person looks. So if you feel you are okay, that's fine. You can pray for me. I can give you prayer points. So, because I know some people are cool like that. Just cool, too cool, like cooler than cucumber. There's this prayer that Pastor likes so much. And it's by Sir Francis Drake. I'll just read a portion of it because of our time. And it says, "Disturb us, O Lord, when we are too pleased with ourselves. When our dreams come true because we dream too little. When we have arrived in safety because we have sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, O Lord, when with the abundance of the things we possess, we've lost our thirst for the water of life." I'm sure you can look this prayer up. Disturb us, O Lord. Disturb us, O Lord. If you are so comfortable, you are fine. You have food on the table. You are healthy. Your children are doing fine. They are excellent, obedient children. Disturb us, O Lord. You can pray. There's something. There's a reason why you are still here on earth. There's something you're supposed to be pursuing. And the Lord God, as you pray this prayer sincerely, the Lord will stir you up. He will open up your eyes and give you a drive, a desire for the hand of God in the name of Jesus. The other thing I want to mention about miracles is that the sowing and reaping principle is also applicable for miracles. The sowing and reaping principle is applicable for miracles. Almost like garbage in, garbage out. Crazy actions, crazy miracles. To see what you've never seen before, you have to do what you've never done before, as instructed by God. To see what you've never seen before, you have to do what you've never done before, as instructed by God. I can remember when, some of us know I was in the UK, and they had a program where you had to, once you finish your master's program, you can work for about a year. And if you don't get a job within that year, because you have to show that you have been earning something from a company, if you don't get a job, basically you are going back home. And that was how it was for me. I finished my school. I was waiting for a job. I got a small job, but it wasn't, if I had stayed on that job, I wouldn't have qualified to receive an extension to remain in the UK. So it became a desperate situation. That's why I call it desperate. You know, sometimes some things though, I mean, if you are not disturbed about something, then you don't push for it. I went on a, and what do they call it? No, it wasn't dry fast. Maybe I wasn't at that point yet, but I went on when the thing doesn't end, was a continuous fast. But no, I was breaking every day, but I said, I will not stop this fast until I get a job. I mean, that may not be your instruction, and that's why I prayed earlier that Lord will open your eyes, he will open your ears to hear what your instruction is. I said I was not stopping this fast. I kept fasting. I would go to the job that I didn't really like, that was not going to qualify me for. During, when I was going for lunch, I would go and pray. So that's a tip for us. When you are working and, you know, there should be a time for lunch, you can take out that time. Instead, I'll study the word, I'll pray. 30 minutes, 1 hour, instead of eating. So I'll go, I'll pray. After, once it was done, I'll go and pray. My best book of the Bible then was Psalms. Because I feel Psalms really connect with us emotionally, but it has a way of bringing the power of God down to your situation. I will read Psalms, I will declare it, then I'll go and eat. Every day I was doing it. Eventually, I got 2 or 3 offers. I had to reject one. In fact, one of the ones told me that I should come. I got there for the final. She wanted to show me the colleagues. I couldn't, because of the way it was, I couldn't, what happened was the position I applied for, she said I didn't qualify for that, but she will create another, like she would, there's one position she felt that I was more aligned to. So she said, okay, I'll hire you for that one. I felt so bad. I couldn't tell her on the phone. So I went. I said, I'm so sorry. I'm just here to say, I just came to honor, you know, the fact that you wanted to show me my colleagues, but I got another offer. And she was like, okay, if you don't mind me asking, where did you get the offer? I told her, SAS Institute. She was like, okay, that's fine. Don't worry, you can go. Because she knew that it was a much better offer. But this is it. I knew that I needed something. I didn't want to go back home. I didn't feel like, there's nothing wrong in going back home. I just felt like it wasn't my time. I didn't feel like I'd maximized the reason why I was there. And I went to God. And he answered. Amen. If you go to God, he will answer. If you go to him, he will answer. If you go to him, said, unto him who answers prayers shall all flesh come. He answers prayers. But we have to be disturbed. We have to feel like, so this is a point. Sowing and reaping. You have to do what you've never done before to see what you've never seen before. And then I just want to go through some of the things that you might do. So we say you won't see some things except you do some things. So what are some of the things you do? These are things that are basic. We know them. But I trust that God will customize them for you to hear your own instruction. Intense prayer, number one. Prayer is not informing God. He already knows what it is. He knows all things. He knows how you feel. But prayer is involving God. You are telling him, Lord, you see this situation. I am inviting you into it. You are giving him permission to be involved in your life. You are giving him permission for his hand to be seen in your life. Two things prayer does. It involves God, but it also changes you. It opens your eyes. Bible says, Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call unto me and I will answer. Right? But and I will also show you great and mighty things that you do not know. The version that Pastor Toyosi always likes, the things that you could not have figured out on your own. Call unto me, I will answer you, number one, and I will show you. So when you pray to God, you involve him. You receive answers from him. But he also changes you. Sometimes maybe what we are praying for is not even the right thing. Maybe he has much more for you. You're asking him for 1,000. Maybe he wants you to believe him for 100,000. Maybe. Or maybe even less. But I always believe God is for more. Amen. Yeah. So when you call unto him, he shows up for you. We see an example in scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 10. You can read 1 Samuel 1. And it's a story of Hannah. She was married to Elkanah. She didn't have a child. Her husband's other wife had children. And they had been going to Shiloh year after year. But on this particular Shiloh year, she said, this is not going to remain the same. What pushed her to the altar? What pushed her to demand from to pour out her heart to the Lord? Can we go to verse 10 to see how she approached the Lord? Says she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept sore. That shows that she was into the prayer. That's why I call it intense prayer. That sometimes when you see people pray, you almost know they are joking. Like Pastor Reverend George was saying, he went to church, went to minister somewhere, and the person leading prayer was praying in tongues, but he just kept on saying, ziggy, 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 ziggy. He's like, what's that? That's not prayer. The person with no passion, no the way. Maybe you need to listen to that message. He said, while he was saying it, I was laughing. But you could tell that even as a human being, he knew that this person was joking. He was not into the prayer. Another person that was into the prayer was Elijah. When he prayed for rain, can you see his posture? I can't remember the scripture. He bent down and his head was between his knees. That is intense prayer. I was listening to one woman one day. She was like, don't be fooled by this makeup you're seeing. I said, I want to be like you. She said, don't be fooled about this when you see me praying. you know. That is intense prayer. And it's not to show it off to anybody. It comes from your heart. This is what she said. She was bitter in her soul. Are you bitter about the things that are happening around you in your life? Are you bitter about that you go to God in prayer? The man, the prophet that was the priest that was in that temple, thought she was drunk. Thought she had lost it. And almost passed her by until she told him that this is the reason why. And the priest declared a word over her. And she received what she required of the Lord. You know, but I want to just touch on a point. What drove her to the altar this way? Her husband's other wife was despising her. So sometimes when people do things to you, don't really look at them. Look at the purpose behind it. This drove her to have her children. This drove her to go to the altar of God and take God at his word. She was in a place of surrender to him. Even in that scripture, she said she even made the covenant to God. She said, if you give me this child will serve you. She was really into this thing that she was speaking to God and making transactions with him. Telling him that, Lord, if you bless me with this child will serve in your temple. But what drove her to it? A disappointment, maybe the way the lady hissed at her and showed her her children. You know, or something. I don't know what it is. You may even be in your place of work. Someone may do something to you. You feel like you were displeased with it. You are sour in your spirit. Maybe it's time to take action. Maybe you've been so, you know, cool. And you need to be, you know, energized and driven to what that thing that God has in store for you. So I declare that in the name of Jesus, anything in your life that has kept you bound, has kept you too comfortable, there will be a disturbance in the name of Jesus. And I declare that your next level is here in Jesus' name. Amen. I said here, it creates a holy anger that takes you to the altar. It's okay to have a holy anger that takes you to God. I said, Lord, I really mean this business. I'm sure Hannah was like, this year, I always come here this year. Shiloh, every time. Her husband even gave her more portions than he gave the other wife. But that was not enough. Maybe before it was enough. Maybe other years, it's okay. Yeah, it's fine. My husband still loves me. I don't have a child, but my husband still loves me. That year, it was up to here. She said she's not taking it any longer. And she went to the Lord. So it's okay to have holy anger that takes you to the altar. Don't take it against people. Because I know sometimes when we feel offended by people, you might be like, hey, what's up? What do you think? What are you taking me for? It's not to people. You take it to God. Amen. Another story was blind Bartimaeus. Some people know about him. Lots of sermons have been preached about blind Bartimaeus. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus was passing by. He was blind. Maybe amongst other blind people. And he was saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. They told him, shh. People around him said, shh, please don't disturb him. But he cried even louder. He knew it was his moment. He knew it was his season. And he got his miracle. I just added some things here. Speaking in tongues. You know, one of my own answers for speaking in tongues is you know, almost like what I said before, to see what you have never seen before, you have to do what you have never done before. It seems crazy, right? When people speak in tongues, you can't explain it. That's how you will not be able to explain their miracle. When people speak in tongues and go before God and just pour out their heart to him, you don't understand. Some people may be confused like, I don't understand what he's saying. Are you sure he's really praying? Are you sure he's really communicating to God? That's how you will not be able to explain the miracle. Seed and harvest. Seed and harvest. And the Bible says in Romans 8, I believe, that sometimes we don't even know what to pray for. We don't know how to pray. But the Spirit makes intercessions on our behalf. That's why one of the reasons why I like speaking in tongues. Like I always say, speaking in tongues is not what will get you to heaven. It's desire. If you desire it, the scripture says if you desire, you If you desire this gift, receive it. It does, it's not, it won't take you. Some people who don't speak in tongues, they'll still get to heaven. But I can tell you, those that speak in tongues, they'll have more results than those that don't. But what do you want? What's your desire? Another thing that can help your intense prayer is fasting, like I mentioned, the story I prayed. And I have some other instances where I took to fasting for job, for my son, and God answered. But one thing I want to say is that fasting does not intimidate God. Like, some people feel like, I'm going to fast so that the Lord will see me and he will answer me. He has seen you before. He already knows. He knows the size of your stomach. He knows everything. So you can't intimidate him with fasting. Fasting just positions you. Fasting just heightens your spiritual awareness. Fasting without food and without the word is like hunger strike. It's like you're just on a diet, really. You stay away from food, you fast from food, and you feast on the word of God. You stay away from food, and you feast on the word of God, and you pray, you declare. So it's not for us to say, okay, I'm going to fast today. There's a type of fasting. There's one, I can't remember who it was in the Bible, but someone was going to, they were going to afflict one of the children of God, and the prophet said they were not going to eat until they see him dead, right? That is fasting, like, on a different level. But fasting, the way it ought to be done, is you are positioning yourself to hear God's instruction for you, to hear what he says. You're equipping yourself, you're aligning to him to receive. So God has never eaten before. He will not be intimidated by your fasting, but it just positions you. And I think it also makes God know how serious you are. I was listening to a message one day, and someone was saying he's not sure why people have hurdles in their lives or struggles in their lives. Well, he just says that I think it's just a way to differentiate those who are serious and those that are not serious. Because everyone will face, you know, hurdles. But some people will see the hurdle and they'll turn back. They're like, this is too high. It's not that hard. Like, they just, it's okay, I'm fine. But those that are serious, they will go through the hurdle. So I think your trials and things, there are ways to just demarcate those that are serious from those that are not, right? So speaking in tongues, fasting, feasting on the word, those are ways you can intensify your prayer. There's this scripture in 2 Peter 1 verse 19, and this talks about us paying attention to the word of God. Look at what this thing says. This is 2 Peter 1 verse 19. It says, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the day star arises in your heart. So you look at the word of God. Look at the word. Almost like what Pastor Andrew said. When revelation comes, you see what God will do. Now, they won't ask you, oh, will you have a child? And you say, oh, maybe, if the Lord wills. You say, yes. Someone tells you, are you going to have a child? You're not going to say, oh, maybe. God has revealed it to you. You take it. When your reply is yes, your reply is yes. I will not die, I will live to declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That comes from revelation. That comes from revelation. Hallelujah. Are we getting blessed? Amen. I'm getting blessed as well. So, second thing you can do, obedience, complete obedience. In the place of prayer, God will show you things and give you instructions. At times, it may be a crazy instruction. It could be hard, could be foolish, not making natural sense. But if you do it, you will see the manifestation. Same thing. Sowing, reaping. Reap so crazy. You reap crazy miracles. How sensible was it for Naaman to receive an instruction to go to dip himself in a dirty river? In fact, Naaman, if you read the story in 2 Kings 5, Naaman was a respectable man. He thought that the prophet would come out to him, lay hands on him, speak in tongues, or do whatever. The prophet sent a servant. It's almost like, just go tell that guy, go deep 7 times. Not even once, 7 times. Naaman was annoyed. He went home and said, how can this man, he didn't even come out, doesn't even know who I am. It was a girl that came to tell him, the servant. I said, sir, if this man told you to do a hard thing, would you not have done it? And he just respected himself, went there. May God put people in your life with sound counsel to lead you to that testimony, to that miracle. No matter how simple it is, it may be foolish. It may be simple, but foolish. But God, if God placed it in your heart to do it, then do it in faith, knowing that you will receive your miracle. That's how you position yourself for a miracle. If I ask you a question, when Jesus turned the water to wine, can someone tell me when the water turned to wine? Was it when they filled the containers? Was it when they dished it out? Was it when the man was going? Was it when the taster, the chairman of the kitchen, tasted it? I don't know. But what we know is that the man, the person who tasted it, said, wow, this wine is wonderful. But what led them there? Obedience of a foolish instruction. Mary told him, said, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. They were positioning themselves. They were ready. I'm sure some of them will be wondering, what about if we took some water, some of this thing, and gave it to him, and the person tastes water, like water? No, what? You know, they will feel this, you know. But they just took a step of faith. They will say, oh, I don't want to be disappointed. I don't want to be fired. I don't know. But it was an instruction from the Lord. And they took his word, and they saw a miracle. As you obey the instructions the Lord gives you, or as you hear the instructions the Lord gives you, may the Lord give you courage and boldness to go for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Number three, so we talked about intense prayer, complete obedience. Number three, intense service and giving. I was so blessed by the Sunday school this morning. It was almost basically what I have here. You can't serve God, or you can't give, you can't be a blessing to humanity and be stranded. I heard someone say, if you take care of God's business, God will take care of your own business. That is how it is. God is faithful. And sometimes we may want to refer to someone else and say, I see that brother, he's serving the Lord. And we have not seen any, you know, miraculous thing happening to his life. What is the guarantee that if I serve the way he's serving, I will see the... My own is just wait. You may think that it doesn't have the... It might be two things. Maybe it's building up, right? You know, when there's so much sun, the water goes up. How many of us know that it must come down? It must come down. Maybe he's not serving with the right heart. It could be that. Maybe the person's not serving with the right heart. Maybe something. It might be something else that you don't know. But if someone is honoring the Lord, serving him, just watch out and be blessed. Just watch out. It's just a matter of time. Even before you imagine, you might see him today. The next couple of moments when you see him, you may not be able to recognize him because the Lord will have lifted him. So we see two examples in scripture. Cornelius, he was busy serving the Lord, giving alms to the poor, offering sacrifices, praying. And while he was doing, he was not even a believer then. He was just doing good. Or he had a sense of God, because scripture says that he was praying to the Lord, praying to God. While he was doing that, Peter, some distance away, had a revelation. And God inspired Peter. Somehow, they got connected to Cornelius, and Cornelius got saved. He received Jesus, had salvation. My question is, when he was serving the Lord, he probably did not know that God was already working on his behalf. revealing to someone else. How wonderful will it be that while you are in your room, or while you are in church serving God, and in your room you send that resume, God already reveals to your interviewer the color of clothes you'll be wearing, how you look, how you smile, that when they just see you like that, that's the candidate. That's the person I saw. When you serve the Lord, he works for you. Even things that you didn't even imagine, he will start working it out for you, working it out for you. That's one example in scripture. Another example was the lady Dorcas. She was a lady rich in good works, the scripture says, in Acts chapter 9. And she blessed her world, but she died. She was sick, she died. And the people around her, they heard Peter was somewhere. They went to call Peter, and they raised her up from the dead. Now, the good she did, of course, when God blesses us, he uses people around us, right, to be a blessing to us. Those people facilitated the miracle in her life. So we need to be intense with our service, intense with our giving. God says in Malachi 3:18, it says, I will make a distinction between those who serve me and those who serve me not. The Bible says also in Exodus 25:23, it says, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and he will take sickness away from you. I said, none will be barren in the land. Many promises for those who honor the Lord and serve them. I'm sure we learned more about it in our Sunday school, in our school of the word this morning. May the Lord empower us for effective service in the name of Jesus. Amen. And then the last one is intense praise and worship. Intense praise and worship. Now, our worship should be heartfelt. Our worship should be heard. I know, like I said, some of us are cool. And I don't mean to point on any, you know, to anybody, but I think especially our men are just like cool like that. How can I lift up my hands? Six pack, how can I? I mean, it's just too heavy. You know, it just feels so cool. And that's how some people be cool with their issues. You know, you can't just abandon yourself before God. It's not a show off. I mean, if that's how you are, and you really, your heart, of course, God himself is the one who sees and receives your worship. So it's not that everyone who lifts up their hand is, you know, sincere. Some people lift up their hands and they are not sincere. We know that. But I think that sometimes we are so self-conscious. We are just like, you know, they feel like they are Jesus' uncle. They're just like, yeah, I'm cool. You know, you just feel like, you know, and you're like, is this not the God that saved you? Is he not the God that gave you breath? Is he not the one who fights for you? Even if you feel you are cool, he's the one who made you cool. Who can be cooler than Jesus? I mean, really. So we need to, you know, abandon ourselves in worship to the Lord, in praise to him. It doesn't matter how things are, how they seem. We see scripture, read some scriptures to us. But the example of Paul and Silas, we know that story very well. They were in prison. They were bound. But I said here, our worship, our praise should be heartfelt. They should also be heard. Let people, I mean, you don't do it for people, but that, like I mentioned, the guy that was praying in tongues, that was, it seemed like a joke to who was observing him. It's the same way. If you can't really conceive, if you can't really convince the people around you, how much more God? God is not a joker. He sees our hearts. He knows when it's heartfelt. He knows. Paul and Silas, they prayed. And if you see that scripture in Acts 16:25, he said they prayed and they sang to the Lord. He said, and the prisoners heard them. That part of scripture was not there for joke. They heard them. They were listening to them. So they heard. There's some people, they are cool in church when they say pray, intense prayers, or give the Lord a shout or worship, they're like, I'm shouting inside, you just can't hear it. I'm shouting within, you just can't. I'm really screaming. The Lord sees my heart. They said other prisoners heard them. Other prisoners. A child, when a child is hungry, she does not cry. My daughter does not cry inside. She cries out. That's what she's hungry for. That's what she's yearning for. That brings us back to birthing miracles. What's your desire? What your desires cannot just be you know, covered up. They are expressed. Amen? This is what scripture says in Habakkuk 3, verse 17 to 19. It says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, basically, things are not right. He says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high places. That's why we praise him. He's our everything. Even though things don't look like it right now, I'll still give him praise. Like we mentioned, crazy actions, crazy results, crazy actions. It seems not sensible to praise the Lord when things are going wrong. But that's what gives you results. How many of you were here on Friday when Pastor talked about, you know, joy coming in the morning? That was really nice. I'm sure God inspired him to just say that. He says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And morning is not a specific time. You can make it a morning by your joy. You can make it a morning is when you wake up. You wake up to the reality that God is your source. He's your provider. So you can bring morning now with your joy. And tell the Lord, I've woken up. This is my morning. This is my morning. This is my morning. I'm trading away my sorrow. Doesn't matter what the devil has done to me, what he has stolen, what he has killed. I will rejoice in the Lord. And just like God, the Lord did for Paul and Silas, that he broke their chains, there was an earthquake. So the Lord will arise for you in the name of Jesus. As you give him praise, as you lift up your hands to him, as you tell him he's your everything, as you tell him that you know that things are not really right now, but all things are working together for your good. As you lift up your voice to him, he's showing up on your behalf. Bible says in Psalm 67, verse 5 and 6, it says, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. It said, then the earth shall yield her increase. You know, that's how it is. And you know, I said about this crazy input, crazy output. In the world, you have to do something, right, before you say thank you. You give me something, then I say thank you. This is now the reverse. It's crazy, right? Thank you, Lord, then you get. Thank you, Lord, then you receive. Thank you, Lord, then you are delivered. Thank you, Lord, you are set free. Hallelujah. And we see all these things that I listed that are, you know, ingredients or how to prepare for miracles. These are what Jesus himself did. He would take a while to pray. He will worship the Lord even before miracles. He said, Father, I thank you because you always hear me. These are things he practiced. And I trust that the Lord God will empower us and equip us to do these in the name of Jesus. Can we just rise up to our feet this morning or this afternoon? Just going to spend a few minutes just focusing on Jesus, the miracle worker. And whatever issue, whatever complication you have in your life that doesn't seem, you know, that you know is not consistent with the word of God. Just want you to shift your focus off of that and shift your focus on Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have everything. If you have Jesus, you have everything. Just want you to focus on him. There's a song that says that I've made you too small in my eyes. I've relied so much on my strength, and I feel like you're not able to help me. And the songwriter says, be magnified, O Lord, you are highly exalted, and there is nothing that you cannot do. Let's fix our focus on Jesus this morning. Let's fix our focus on Jesus this morning. Lord, there's nothing that is too hard for you. We invite you again, once again, into our lives. We want to see your hand at work in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones. Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. And we are desirous, we are hungry for your hand at work in our lives. And we know that those who seek you, they find you. If we know this song, let's sing along. Jesus.
Jesus, the Son of God. I believe in you. I believe in you.
Jesus, the Son of God.
Jesus, the Son of God.
Us directly, but your loved one, maybe an illness, a diagnosis, a situation that you know only the Lord God can make things to turn around. Just want you to lift it before the Lord this afternoon. Lord, we come to you. There's nothing too hard for you. God of all flesh, you raise the dead. You can give new body parts. Lord, you made nothing. You made the world out of nothing. By the creative power of your word. There's nothing too hard for you, Lord. Can you just thank the Lord in advance? Thank him because you know he's taking care of the situation. Thank him because you know that he heard you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray.